I'm Steve Gann. I am a climate scientist, and I spent 28 years at the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory. I really enjoyed my time there. I have now retired to focus more of my effort onto building the political will to do something about climate change.
Well, that's great. Now, today is a significant day for you here at AGU. Why is that?
Today, I am, being inducted as an AGU fellow, which is quite an honor to me.
It is. It's an honor to many because only 0.1% of AGU members actually arrive at this point. Is that correct?
Each year, yes.
Great. So if we can backtrack a little bit at the early part of your 28 years and help us to see what brought you to this path in life, why did you choose climate science altogether?
I love hiking, but I don't like hiking in the rain. So when I got to college, I decided to major in atmospheric science, and then I learned about climate change as an issue that seemed pretty important, and so I really focused my career on that.
Oh, great. Are there any turns along the way that you didn't expect as you were pursuing that career, or did it pretty much shape up like you thought it would?
It did pretty much line up the way I thought. I got involved early on in global climate modeling, and I've done that really all of my career. I've had a little bit of experience in field work, but most of my work has been in modeling, and it's been very enjoyable.
What do you get out of that modeling? What's the aha for you, or the discovery aspect of this science for you?
It's coming up with clever ideas on how to represent processes in the climate system, and then implement them and then use them to learn something about climate change and its impact on people.
And then can you relate some of these impacts that you've seen over your years doing this science? Where has it made a difference? Or can you mention a few things or a few moments in your career when you know that the work that you've done has had a significant impact or learning for key individuals or policymakers?
Yeah, I did one study of the effects of global warming on mountain snowpack, and I found a 70% reduction in mountain snowpack in the western U.S., and that's very consequential for the farmers in our region and many other places because they rely upon snowmelt during the summer months for their water source.
Mm. And then, what does that lead to when you see that your message is having an impact? What are the next outcomes, or what does it take for people to line up with your thinking?
Yeah, so there really are three requirements for responding to this sort of information. One is that it's compelling that a large majority of the scientists. Agree with the conclusions that we're coming to. And second is that it is very consequential for people, very serious. And the third is that there's actually something we can do about it. Mm. And all those line up for climate change, and so I've become very active in advocating national legislation that is durable and effective at reducing the emissions that are driving climate change.
Mm. So that advocacy, I've heard, takes you to a new space outside of an office or outside of a laboratory. Can you tell us what you've been doing lately as you've stepped back from your career a bit?
Well, I've been involved with an organization called Citizens Climate Lobby for about 5 years and lead a group in the Tri-Cities. But I did something different in the last few months. I headed out on the Pacific Crest Trail and spent 3 months hiking 1,500 miles on that trail, and wearing a hat that says "Make Earth Cool Again," and that was a great conversation starter for talking to hikers and in towns. I would talk to other people in the towns about the good news that we can do something about climate change without hurting the government, hurting the economy, or growing government, or restricting people's freedom.
Hmm. Everyone has an ability to contribute to that, making Earth cool again, huh?
Absolutely, yes.
Well, thanks and congratulations, Steve.
Thank you.